will be up and running.
For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Ready to assist the Philippines as government forces battle ISIS-linked militants in the country's south, Defence Minister Maurice Payne says. The danger of North Korea, anxiety of a coercive China and the threat of terrorism dominated talks between Australia and other regional countries at a security summit in Singapore over the past 2 days. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull used his 3-day visit to Singapore to touch on rising security tensions in the region. The sentiments were echoed by US Defence Secretary James Mattis, who criticised China's militarisation of the waters and their creation of artificial islands in the South China Sea.
While competition between the US and China, the world's two largest economies, is bound to occur, conflict is not inevitable. Our two countries can and do cooperate for mutual benefit.
Queensland's Labor government says it needs to pass its controversial land clearing laws if it is re-elected in order to reach targets to protect the Great Barrier Reef. A UNESCO report found the government had fallen behind on its targets to improve water quality on the reef and said the state would need to speed up efforts to prevent the natural wonder being listed as in danger. Progress towards achieving water quality targets has been slow, and the most immediate water quality targets are not expected to be achieved within the foreseen timeframe, the UNESCO report said. Environment Minister Stephen Miles acknowledged the state needed to do more, but said progress on the targets had been held back by the government's inability to restrict land clearing. The desperate search for an elderly man has ended in tragedy, with police divers finding his body in the Murray River east of Adelaide. The body of 78-year-old Norman Grace was recovered last night, 5 hours after he fell into the river at Murray Bridge East. The elderly man was in a 3-metre tinny when it capsized on the river with two of his grandchildren on board. The two children, reported to be around 10, were wearing life vests and swam to shore. The missing man's daughter, Kylie Jacobs, said the boat was having engine problems when it tipped over. A toddler and his mum, who were missing for 2 weeks, have been found in Melbourne. The 16-month-old boy was located in Richmond last night after he and his mother had not been seen since mid-May. There were concerns for the little boy because he required medication. The ex-wife of former Liberian President Charles Taylor has appeared at Westminster Magistrates Court in London to face torture charges. The BBC's James Waterhouse.
Agnes Reeves Taylor stood to confirm her name, date of birth and address in East London. She faces 4 charges, which include the participation in and ordering of torture. The offences are alleged to have happened during the first civil war in Liberia more than 27 years ago. More than 250,000 people were killed during the conflict in Liberia. Her ex-husband is the country's former president, Charles Taylor, who's currently serving a 50-year jail term for war crimes.
Back home, and a man has died following a collision in New South Wales' north. Just before 9 last night, the male passenger, thought to be in his 30s, was thrown from his car after it crashed into a tree northwest of Coffs Harbour. He died at the scene. The male driver received minor injuries and has been taken to hospital for mandatory blood and urine tests. This is AIR News. Maroons utility Mitchell Morgan helped put the disappointment of a State of Origin opening loss behind him by guiding North Queensland to a much-needed 28-home NRL win against the Gold Coast. With Cowboys captain Jonathan Thurston still sidelined, Townsville junior Morgan played arguably his best game of the season, the halfback bagging a try and impressing with his kicking game all night. Teammate Cohen Hess told Fox Sports, everyone focused well on the match at hand.
Just trying to focus on playing good footy for the Cowboys, and I think we put in a pretty good performance tonight.
In other results, Cowboys 20, Titans 8, Roosters 18, Broncos 16. A Dustin Martin masterclass has propelled Richmond to a 35-point win over North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium. The Tigers superstar was brilliant throughout, but elevated his game even higher in a blistering 6-1 third quarter that set up the 14-17-101 to 9-12-66 win last night. Wins also to Gold Coast over West Coast and GWS over Essendon. Andy Murray benefited from a double fault by Juan Martin Del Potro in the opening tiebreaker and then looked more and more like the world number one during a 7-6, 7-5, 6-love victory at the French Open. The third round match between a pair of past major champions was much tighter than the straight set scoreline might indicate. He needed nearly 3 hours to get past the 29th seeded Del Potro in the 2016 Rio Olympics gold medal rematch. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today. Mostly sunny, light winds. We're currently just over 10 degrees. We're heading for a lovely day of 20 degrees, 0% chance of any rain in Sydney. Jimmy, what about at Drummoyne and out at Dubbo for the showcase meeting?
Drummoyne right now, Raymond, is currently 10 degrees. A little bit chilly, 10 degrees. Expected maximum of 19 degrees. Now, out at Dubbo for the showcase event, sunny, 19 degrees, perfect.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network. June is 10% end of financial year extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 10% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapwares, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. This June, use the code RADIO for your extra 10% discount at astivita.com.au. astivita.com.au.
Don't miss out on your last 2017 pinhooking opportunity at the Inglis Great Southern Weanling and Bloodstock Sale, June 18 to 21 at Oaklands Junction, Melbourne. For catalogues and information, visit inglis.com.au.
Become the most prolific goal kicker in Premiership history, Cameron Smith, and he sends it over. And this wonderful player has kicked more goals than anyone else. 943 now.
Silence Edition going to first seal. Dixie Blossoms first play. They're heading top gear now. Fox Play and Dixie Blossoms. Zambar with the last shot. Fox Play hits the lead from the fast finishing Zambar, and Fox Play takes it out.
Here's the last.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to the program, Ray and Jimmy, right up until 10 o'clock on this Sunday morning. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday. I know we are. Geez, we get excited when we come in here, don't we?
Tell you what, we fire right up. I don't know why sometimes, but anyway, we do.
Looking forward to the today's show,
saying,
Roman.
There, Jim?
What's that?
What are you saying?
No, just what about the way that we arrive at our talk topic? Tell you what, people wouldn't believe what
pressure.
I mean, let's call it very loosely the creative process.
The pressure, more like it.
Oh, hang on, Hamish. Not very nice.
Panel operator Hamish.
Yeah, you know what? You know what panel operator Hamish is. See, panel operator Hamish, although he's got the last two legends of the game guests.
He couldn't get the hat trick.
He's never got a talk topic up. And you always know he's trying for a talk topic when he says...
You have, we have been a start...
Oh, hang on, that's how they just... Hang on. Raymond, look, the way you're laughing at that, I feel you're a part of that.
That was fantastic timing. That was like a Ricky Ponting square.
So what Hamish has got now is something that's making me going to be very careful what I say about him. But you always know Hamish is trying to get a talk topic up when he says, look, it's not as a talk topic, but...
He's an ideas man. You need ideas man behind the scenes, mate.
Yes, we do.
Let's get stuck in this, Jim. What's on the show today?
Rod Ollerton's on after the win of Royal Tudor yesterday at Rosehill Gardens. We've got our race replays. Craig Foster will be on. We've just got our Champions League result. 4-1. Real Madrid. 4-1. Real Madrid. Wow. That's a huge win over Juventus. So we'll get Craig to talk about that. We've got a Socceroos qualifier coming
big
up as well, too. So
massive game.
Bjorn Baker will be on the program with Test the World. A bit of a, I won't say it's a nervous time in the stewards room, but it seemed to be thrown out pretty quickly. But got the win, no problem. Zorba, with all his thoughts on the origin. What happened? What should happen next, especially for Queensland? Tyson Frizzell, a chance of being out. So that's going to be a disappointment there. But in saying that, the depth of talent in the back row and in the middle forwards for New South Wales is quite incredible. So we'll have a chat to Zorba about that.
Rachel King is going to be on. Never ridden a Sydney winner until yesterday, when she rode two. Well done, Rachel. So we're going to have a chat with her. Tom Magnier is on as well, because Coolmore, how many runners did Coolmore have?
They had six.
Six, mm-hmm. Right. And
one of their outsiders.
Outsiders yeah. One, yeah.
An interesting story there, Jim.
Yes.
But in the jockey, Padraig Beggie,
yes.
Was riding out here in Australia for a while.
He was?
Yeah.
When?
Oh, 3-4 years ago.
It went under the radar, right?
Only in the bush area.
Right.
Mm, so he described himself as a journeyman jockey, but he's now an English Derby winning jockey. I'm not sure if Tom's here or in England, but we'll get him anyway.
Speaking of dogs, Dean Ritchie will be on. Well, that's his nickname, Bulldog. Yeah, you know that.
It is, yeah.
And you know, I was surprised to learn recently from you that it's not because he looks like a bulldog. It's because he used to chase like a bulldog.
Oh,
he chases like a bulldog.
That's past tense.
Yeah, I know. He chases like a
bulldog. Exactly, yes. Be careful.
Because he chases like a bulldog.
Dino could be listening. Chances of.
Hang on, let me have a look at the watch. 7:10
no.
On a Sunday morning. He's pushing out the Zeds, the bulldog. Ronnie Palmer is our legend of the game. Talk about a bloke with nicknames. Where do we start? Ted Mulry, 40-20, the Cougar. Ronnie Palmer, the Balmain Charmer. Besides all that...
Are you going to explain what they all mean? Or?
Some of them self-explanatory, but the 40-20 one, because he had a head of a 40-year-old and a body of a 20-year-old. So, but now, of course, he's a 60-20. He's got the head of a 60-year-old and the body of a 20-year-old.
Clever, isn't it?
Yeah, very clever. So we've got the Balmain Charmer, Ronnie Palmer, on the program. Not only that, he spent nearly 40 years working with rugby league sides and the evolution of that and the athlete. And of course, he's involved in State of Origin as well. We thought it'd be very interesting. He'll be a legend of the game today. Mark Waugh will come along. A disappointment for the Aussies. Well, maybe it's a good thing that we got washed out. But in a bit of trouble there against New Zealand in that Champions Trophy. But still very important games coming up for them. So we'll have a chat with national selector Mark Waugh. Trent Lanscale will be on from tab.com.au. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. And, of course, taking your calls, taking your input into the program as well. 1353 is the open line number. We'll release our talk topic very shortly as well. You can get us on the tweets, and of course it's Big Sports WEND at Big Sports WEND, and of course the SMS 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. Good morning to you, Ray Thomas, in what is 3-4 days now after what was a outstanding State of Origin win for the good guys. Morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Well, you have to tell us, Jim, that what was it like on Wednesday night? I haven't been to the new Lang Park, Suncorp Stadium, to see a Origin match. I went to the old Lang Park. The Blues got beaten. So what was it like to be there when the Blues win and win so convincingly?
Everyone spoke about the famed atmosphere of Suncorp Stadium, and to be honest, in the second half it dissipated very quickly. People going to the exits early.
Did they really?
The noise was not as profound as I thought it might have been, and you understand that when it was a record-breaking win by the Blues at Suncorp Stadium in enemy territory. It was just fantastic. I thought the performance of the Blues was outstanding. I know there's a lot been said and written about it subsequently, but they probably should have been up 18-0 at half time. They just had one opportunity, Queensland, and they got it. And New South Wales didn't quite finish it off. They got that late try just before halftime, which was key, and then completely dominated the game in the second half.
Fafita, incredible.
Yes.
Tedesco's full 80 minutes. Oh. Have you ever seen... Was it mistake-free? Some of the things he did, he saved how many tries?
He
saved how many sets, repeat sets? He just appeared at the right time every time.
Yeah.
Who was your man on the match?
On the morning of the game, I was doing Big Sports Breakfast up there, and on the morning of the game...
How was that like, Jim?
That was great. It was awesome.
Were you in the mall there?
In the mall. Yeah, people walking around with their jerseys on Wednesday morning. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was tip New South Wales 13+, tip for Fafita man of the match.
Gee,
but with 10 minutes to go, producer Ben Lloyd had tipped James Tedesco as man of the match, and I sent him a text message saying, Tedesco man of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And Fafita got it. And there you go. But I think they were two standout players.
Incredible.
Two standout players.
Impact on the game was extraordinary, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. And I'll tell you what worked well for them, Ray. The fact that he had to go off for a head injury assessment and then come back on. And he came back on a minute and a half before the end of the first half, mm-hmm. and it was a free interchange. So you wouldn't normally put a player on then.
Correct.
And then he comes on and has that big run, gets them in attacking territory, mm-hmm. and they're able to put that play on with, back on the inside from Wade Graham to Tedesco
yep.
to Mitchell Pearce under
right.
the post.
Yep, fantastic. Mitchell Pearce, easily his best Origin game he's played before he got concussed, but he was terrific. A lot of talk about what Queensland will do, their pick and stick policy,
yes.
well, out the window surely. Does... Slater comes straight back in, Jim. Thurston, if he's fit. Valentine Holmes. Why wasn't he picked for the Origin one?
Mm.
Cohen Hess.
All of those ones. You know, Valentine Holmes is the easy in because then you just move Dane Gagai to right centre. Justin O'Neill misses out and Holmes goes onto the right wing. Fitting in Slater. Billy Slater is not that easy because Corey Oates' ball carrying is actually, and you can see he's a target now for
but
the kick.
But you can't leave him out, Jim. You can't leave
Billy Slater's, well, his form on Friday night, I don't know if anyone saw it. Did you see the Melbourne Storm game?
I only saw the highlights because it was on that 6 o'clock game.
Oh, the 6 o'clock game. It was just magnificent. Mm. Just brilliant. Like, you could not do any more. So, and if he does come back, he can't play anywhere other than fullback.
So where do you move Boyd?
Left wing. So where do you have Oates? Don't know.
Where do you have Gagai?
Gagai's got a... I thought Gagai and Chambers were their two best players.
Mm, Gagai was fantastic.
Excellent. So the forwards, issues there for Queensland. Cohen Hess, yes, should come back into it. Jared Wallace, too,
Wallace
is another guy that I would bring into the Origin arena. So who you leave out? Well, I think Nate Miles is probably under pressure, whether it's injury or otherwise. Mm-hmm. He's definitely under pressure. The only thing that Kevy Walters might do there is say, you know what, he's given us 32 very good games. We'll give you one more to try and get us home. And then if they lose,
for doing that. Yep.
If they lose in Sydney, then they can bring Cohen Hess in and bring Jared Wallace in for their first Origin games in a dead rubber at Suncorp.
The new era.
And then they're ready to go next year.
I agree.
So we'll take your thoughts on that, 13:53:53.
ICC Trophy, you mentioned it earlier, Australia probably dodged a bullet there in game one when the rain came. Did you hear Steve Smith at the press conference afterwards? He did something similar after the Hobart test, but he was even more to the point, I thought.
Okay.
When he basically said it was the worst bowling display he'd seen from an Australian team in an ODI for a long, long time. Bowled both sides of the wickets. They didn't apply pressure. And that's when Josh Hazlewood took six for.
Yeah, he did.
So I was impressed with that because it looks like Steve Smith's really growing with the job. When he had that little outburst after Hobart last summer, the whole summer turned around.
Didn't it? Didn't it? And basically putting people on notice.
Exactly. So he put the bowling group on notice for game two. Basically, Australia have to win the next two games to get through the next stage of the tournament, Jim.
So all out in 45 overs for 291, New Zealand. Kane Williamson, just
a
lazy 100 for
he's
him. And as you mentioned, the star with the ball was Josh Hazlewood, 6 for 52. And then all the rest of the guys came in for a little bit of stick. John Hastings,
even,
2
even
for
Josh
69.
Did as well.
Yeah, that's right. And then Australia, 3 for 53.
After 9 over when the rain came.
Yeah, when the rain came. Today, South Africa have won comfortably over Sri Lanka, 6 for 299. Sri Lanka, 203 all out, so they've won that by 96 runs. We're going to speak to Mark Waugh about that a little bit later on in the program as well. Now, the National Rugby League has made the extraordinary step of printing exactly where they are financially after what they believe as misreporting. Of their finances. I find this just incredible. I don't know why you would have to explain yourself this way. It may well be able to be found in annual reports and so forth, but let them go digging for it. I don't know why you'd reveal how much money you made. You're either revealing how much money you made and how you didn't spend it wisely, or revealing how much money you made and how much you should have left over, and that means the players would want some more. It's a very strange situation we find ourselves in, Raymond.
Correct. Now, I was staggered by it, Jim, and even more so is... It's very loose in detail as well. As you said, you could probably find this if you went digging hard enough, but why the necessity to do it?
I don't know. Just because some news... I tell you what, if every time there was a newspaper report that was wrong...
You shouldn't react like that.
Exactly. It's a lack of confidence in what you're doing.
Exactly. Like, even for example, you know, 59.8 million to states and grassroots rugby league.
Yeah.
Okay?
What's that mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
Tell me exactly where it went. How is it spent? Who got what?
How much got it went to that?
If you're going to go to this trouble, tell the whole story.
Yeah, I know. It was a little bit strange. We'll take your thoughts on that as well. And, of course, our talk topic, which we're going to get to right now.
A flash of inspiration.
David Clemmer is reportedly wanting out of the Bulldogs. Dave Clemmer wants out. And when, you know, if you're on $500,000 a year for the next 3 years and you've got your mate who comes over who's on $900,000 a year or thereabouts,
he'll be asking some questions.
And you're as good a player as him, in many ways, some would say better, you think, well, hang on a minute, I should be getting paid more than that. So, famous exits. Famous exits.
Okay.
Go on,
from
say
clubs
it.
Or
so, go on, say
which
it.
Which one you think I'm thinking of?
Go on. Your little mate who went to South Australia.
Bradman to it was, mate. It was, we
didn't
were
he
alive.
Went to do a stockbroking firm?
He did. And yeah. He did for a long, long time in Adelaide.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he left New South Wales to go to South Australia, which was huge, and play the rest of his career over there.
Absolutely.
And so the rest of his life in Adelaide.
There's the famous one, of course, Sonny Bill Williams in the dark
very
of night.
Controversial.
Very controversial. So that's one to start. There's a very famous one in the U.S., but I know our producer, Jeremy, was all over. So we'll let you out there and try and get that one as well. We've got so many prizes to give away. We've got CDs courtesy of Sony Music. We've got New South Wales State of Origin caps to give away. We've got a couple of Queensland State of Origin caps to give away. That's courtesy of Classic Sportswear and also courtesy of Classic Sportswear. We've got a Queensland State of Origin jersey 1998 to give away to our best caller on our talk topic today. Exits in sport. Give us a call, 1353 53. A break, and then back with more.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. And for over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your NRL team, or engagement and wedding rings, corporate gifts, all types of remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au.
Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
But you'd love to win the ultimate UFC experience. Well, with TAB, UFC's official betting partner, you could. We're offering a fight fan and a friend the trip of a lifetime to Las Vegas for UFC International Fight Week. The prize includes flights, accommodation, VIP tickets, and more. For your chance to win, simply head to tab.com.au and correctly pick who will win UFC 212, Aldo or Holloway. TAB, we love a bet. Full terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance with 50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until August 2021. Huge reductions. Technology, entertainment and home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. 50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until August 2021. Minimum financed amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store and online. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance.
Comprehensive win that was. A huge struggle both mentally and physically. The second set, not too many serves held as they go through, but Angelique Kerber has problems once more as Makarova wins this. Kerber out 2 years in a row in the first round here at Roland Garros.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Already they're starting to roll in, Raymond. Here we go. Paul from Greenacre, famous exit. Bob Fallon at the end of 1976 has signed with the Roosters.
Mm.
Arthur Beetson left Balmain to join East in 1971 after contract talks fell down.
Was Fulton 76? Was Fulton more like 79?
I thought it was 78. Was
78,
it 79, 80?
Either way, he definitely went to the Roosters, which is a big shock. He went to Captain Coacham, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Last of the captain coaches.
No, most definitely. 1353 53, the open line number. Gee, we've got some callers here. Let's go for it. Chris is there. G'day, Chris.
How you going there, guys?
Really well, Chris. Mate.
Famous exits. I'm going to guess the one that he's referring to is Wayne Gretzky leaving Canada in hockey, leaving the Oilers to go to
LA?
California.
LA,
LA, I think.
It's not, but it's a very good one, Chris.
It's not. Yeah, they declared a day of mourning in Canada when he left. They couldn't believe it. I was there at the time.
What do they call him?
They got up and said it's a day of mourning.
Wow. What do they call him? The great one, didn't they? Or
the great one.
Well, yeah. Just a couple of other things. Maybe the league have decided to release this in response to Cricket Australia admitting they've lost $33 million and a lot of it on the big bash.
Mm.
Which is a bit of a shock, isn't it?
It is. We understand that their revenues from the broadcast deal for the Big Bash are
Well, if you call $20 million a year limited, but gee, you would think that they're making some money out of the crowds,
surely,
aren't they?
Surely.
Well, they've lost $33
million. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, so that one, you go, well, where's it gone? And if I was Cricket Australia, I would not reveal where it's gone.
And Ray, quickly before I go, this thing about the bets having to stand for the Stradbroke, even though they've moved it to a different track over different distances, I heard Glenn Munsey last week saying it's just the legislation. They'd be happy to refund the money and start again, which everybody realises should happen. Can you imagine in a Melbourne Cup if they said, well, we're going to move it to Moonee Valley and make it 2,800 metres instead? What would happen then? But if we want to do it and they want to do it, can't they just change the legislation so it makes sense?
Yeah, only problem is I wouldn't be able to do it in time for this weekend,
right,
bro, because a legislative process, as you're probably aware, Chris, takes a fair bit of time to go through,
sure,
Parliament. But I take your point, Chris, and a lot of corporates are actually paying out and refunding bets on that issue.
Yeah,
but
okay.
But
okay,
the tab is tied.
1353 53, the open line number. We've got heaps of callers there, and in fact, Bandit, stay on the line. We'll get to you very shortly.
Rod Ollerton had a very impressive winner yesterday, Jim. Sometimes you see horses win when they shouldn't. He was 4 and 5 wide,
yeah,
the whole way, Royal Tudor. Still found a way to win. It was a terrific performance. Rod's, I think, went back to Scone last night after being good enough to join us. Rod, good morning. Firstly, congratulations. And am I right in saying you probably wasn't entitled to win yesterday, Royal Tudor?
There you go, Ray.
Yeah, no,
he was, he done it pretty tough. Got caught pretty wide, so it was a good, solid effort.
Yeah, does a win forgive everything? Did you have a little chat to Blake McDougall afterwards, Rod, and say, Blake, what was that all about?
No, but you probably didn't want to be talking to me about halfway through the race.
Yeah,
that's
fair enough.
To be fair, you know, he didn't have a lot of choices from where he was.
Mm.
You know, if he went back, he was still going to be wide, and the same if he went forward. So, you know, to Blake's credit, he kept the horse pretty comfortable under,
yeah,
the circumstances he was dealt, and about all you can do, you know.
And I guess if there's any horse in the stable that could handle that, it's Royal Tudor. From what I understand, the quotes from you, just very tough racehorse.
Yeah, he is. You know, there's not a lot of horses that can do that. And, you know, it was a good effort for him to hang on the way he did yesterday.
Yeah, Rod, it's always easy in hindsight. I know you had a quiet confidence going into the race, but you only had to look two starts back to Royal Tudor's fourth in the Hallmark Stakes behind a horse called Red Zell, who's subsequently come out and won a Group 1, to realise he was in terrific form. And he ran right up to that yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's running the Hallmark. It was super, you know, and I felt the horse has been going really, really well. I thought he's run at Scone, albeit that, you know, the mile was a bit beyond him. He raced a bit too keen that day, which, you know, he does have a few quirks at times, that horse. You know, I think, you know, in hindsight, obviously, he is going really good to come off that run, which I was a little bit worried, you know. Sometimes horses have a tough run like he did at Scone. It's a little bit hard to get him back, but, you know, he had the 3 weeks and he's performed again yesterday.
Yeah, so would you stick with the 1,400? Would you go to a mile again?
No, look, he'll stay the 1,400. He just needs too many favours if he went to a mile, you know. Like, he might be all right if he drew a good gate and got a bit of cover, but, you know, you're dependent on too many favours if he went to the mile. So, no, he'll definitely stay back in the 1,400.
Mm. Is there much for him in the next few weeks, Rod? Or I think yesterday you were sort of hinting you might give him a bit of a break now.
Ray, I think, you know, he obviously yesterday would have been a lot tougher run than you think, you know, covering as much ground as he did. And with the hard run he had at Scone as well, I'm probably likely just to give him a few weeks off, freshen up and get him back and to where we might be placed in the spring.
Fantastic. Well done yesterday, Rod. Congratulations on that win. Good to see a tough horse stick it out after a tough run. And we appreciate your time early on a Sunday.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rod.
There he is, Rod Ollerton, who is the trainer of Royal Tudor. $7 for the win. A friend of mine, horse Sabacus, was finishing strongly too.
Just
if
missed
it was
Sabacus,
14.20,
yeah,
would have been right.
He's ready to win Sabacus next
time. Sabacus was a very good run. 1353 53, the open line number. Just before we go to a break, we've got another famous exit. The Bandit's on the line. Hello, Bandit.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Really well.
Mate, Jimmy, you've been involved in two famous exits.
Yeah.
One of them was at Eastern Suburbs to South Sydney, or vice versa.
Yeah.
That was a famous exit. And the other one was your exit from Trumpa Park when you've got beaten in a fourth grade cricket match. You combed your hair, walked out with your shirt off and strutted your staff, and there was no one there to watch it.
Famous.
Sorry, mate. I've taken the fiddle out of you, but God, that was great. Any time you get to see a ranger get beat, that's great.
Listen,
is there a couple of CDs coming to Bandit's way, do you reckon?
Yeah, go on. Then we'll find out his address.
Couple of CDs coming your way, Bandit. That was a beauty.
Good on you, Bandit. Now,
great show, guys.
Good on you, mate. Now, you know what? Usually we just
either
go...
Don't
know who he is. Anyway, usually we just go, oh, well, we've got the guest here. We'll leave the callers out. We'll get him back later. Mm. But for some reason, producer Jeremy and panel operator Hamish left that guy up there. And now I know why. They're the Bandit. We never used to do that. Really good producer. Excellent. Yeah. We want us to go to a break, do you, producer Jeremy? All right, we'll go to a break.
It's the end of financial year time. You know what that means.
See your accountant.
No, it's Bingley end of financial year sale with huge savings at all our stores.
And after the sale, see your accountant.
Why?
The government's small business tax rebate up to $20,000 per item. If purchased by June 30, you might be able to claim a new fridge or coffee maker or a massager to reduce stress.
I might see the accountant.
Why?
To see if I can claim stress-related work.
What stress?
You.
The Bingley end of financial year sale. On now.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong. Singapore. Japan. Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. They're flowing in, Raymond. This is a really good point from EP Conrad on Twitter. If reports are true about Clemmer, it appears that TPAs, that's the third party agreements, have fallen over again. They are a blight on the game.
It's a joke.
That needs to be transparency.
Mm. You've been saying it for a long time, haven't you?
Long time. Transparency around those ones. Here's Don from Carlton. Steve Rogers leaving the Sharks to join the Dragons.
Yes.
LeBron James leaving Cleveland and then going back. Mm. Michael Jordan leaving Chicago to play baseball.
That did break a lot of hearts at the time.
There's a good one. And he went back too.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Did they win a championship when he went back?
Just the three.
That's right. Three in a row, wasn't it?
Chicago
right.
Bulls, yeah. They won three in a row. Then he went and had a hit of baseball. Then they came back and he won another three in a row.
No,
yeah.
He was a freak, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, your favourite part of the show, race replay segment. We'll power through these because there's a couple of future winners out of this lot. I think
nice. The
first of them started off a very, very good day for Bjorn Baker. It was the second at Rose Hill. She's a promising filly. Test the world.
A beat-em unchallenged in the lead from Good Time Charlie. And he wants to lay in under pressure. Mediterranean gets going around Test the World. New Universe, 4 lengths away. Arbitum at the 200. Arbitum coming back to Test the World, who sprints well. Then came Mediterranean. New Universe is struggling. Arbitum being tackled by Test the World. Test the World, the outside, just goes home the best. Just Test the World from Arbitum. Third there between Dissolute. And
so win there for Bjorn Baker. Now, where will Test the World go through?
I don't think she'll go to Queensland. We'll ask Bjorn shortly, but she'll win another race, I'm sure, in the winter if he wants to keep her going. She's very promising.
So Black Booker for that one. Put her in for the next race.
And the runner-up too, Arbitum.
Arbitum
will definitely win a race this preparation. He was terrific first up yesterday. Gay Waterhouse and Adrian got in the news a little bit yesterday, probably for the wrong reasons. But
any truth to the rumours that they're splitting?
Or Gay's overseas on holidays, but Adrian Bott, just straight back, beautiful. No truth to it.
Dismiss the rumours outright.
Correct.
Okay.
And he had every reason to be happy because Supply and Demand, extremely well ridden by Rachel King, was terrific in the Aramine handicap.
Supply and Demand in front coming to the corner. Mighty Lucky sustaining a long run. Moves up on the outside, I believe. Then came Foreign Prince, 0-10. Further back to Iggy Pop. Two Can Choose pushing into the clear. So will he. Third last of they turn. And Supply and Demand is kicked away here for Rachel King. Supply and Demand, 4-5 in front of Mighty Lucky. Here's Two Can Choose giving chase. Supply and Demand, three lengths clear. Toucan Chew's the only one coming out of the pack. Then came Allegria and Iggy Pop, but Supply and Demand is well clear from Toucan Chew. Allegria and Montauk late, but Supply and Demand's going to lead all the way. There's a city double for Rachel King. Supply and Demand goes on to win it from Toucan Chew.
And we'll speak to Rachel King a little bit later on in the program as well. Typical Waterhouse spot performance from Supply and Demand. Get to the front and keep going from there.
Watch for him, but watch for the runner-up, Toucan Chew. Second up yesterday at 1,800. Really good run. He'll be hard to beat in the staying races in coming weeks. The octagonal handicap, Jim, it was, I guess, fitting that Royal Tudor won the race because he had to show a lot of courage and determination to do it, which is what octagonal was famous for. Royal Tudor, very, very good in race eight.
Hartley Bunch coming to the turn, racing bumper to bumper behind. Cool Ring in front with Snoopy in second. Famous Seamus, slightly sweet the deepest. Invincible is tracking up just behind, just waiting for the gaps to open up. And Shiraz is all bottled up at the moment. Into the straight, it's Cool Ring in front. Invincible needs a run off the fence. Snoopy's holding its ground. Shiraz gets the split now, giving chase to Cool Ring. Then came slightly sweet Royal Tudor. And Old North is right down the outside. There's many chances. Royal Tudor and slightly sweet race up together. Sir Bacchus late. It's Royal Tudor drifting in just in front of Sir Bacchus, who lunges. Oh, interesting here. Royal Tudor and Sir Bacchus are really dived there between Old North and...
Yeah, it's got there, and as we said, Sir Bacchus needed 1,420. Blake McDougall was interesting from Rod, saying, "We wouldn't want to be around me halfway through the race." But as you say, a win forgives everything, Raymond.
Exactly. Hey, Jim, the Queensland Oaks yesterday.
Yes.
Can I dare say it?
Go on.
There was something Winx-like in Egg Tart's win.
And Dawn Wall and Egg Tart towards the outside of the 300 metres mark. Invincibella is still the leader from Cross Stitch. Isn't she elegant? Oklahoma girl Shenandoah. Here's Egg Tart down the outside. She's finishing brilliantly, Egg Tart. She's raced up and reached the lead from Oklahoma girl. Egg Tart's in front, and it's Egg Tart for the Oaks. It's a photo second between out wide Pygmy flashing at Oklahoma girl. A further photo for Kennedy.
So there you go. You've heard the story about Chris Waller, you know, when he, with those great horses like a Black Caviar going around, and, you know, would you like one like that? He said, no, I want two.
There you go.
So he's got one.
He might have another one.
You're saying Egg Tart a chance for another one. Now, where to, Egg Tart?
Well, obviously for a spell now. I doubt she'll back up in the Derby.
Right.
Jimmy, you know, she started her winning streak. Well, she's gone four straight races in four different states. Sydney, or straight to Flemington,
yes,
on Anzac Day, across to Adelaide to win the Group 1 Oaks over there, up to Brisbane to win the Group 1 Oaks yesterday. I can't recall a horse doing that. Four states, four successive races, four successive wins.
Yeah.
I can't recall
there
it.
You go.
She is very, very good and probably heads towards the Epsom now, which is where Winx went after her Queensland Oaks a couple of years ago.
Ooh.
We'll know what Winx said after that. So, a couple of little interesting things. They both carried number two saddle cloth.
Right.
And they both scored their sixth career win in the Queensland Oaks. Egg Tart's gone six in a row.
Okay.
But anyway, she's a long way to go to be another Winx. But she was so good yesterday.
No, hey, everyone loves an early crow, Raymond.
No
so
early
crows.
No. I'm just saying that it was a terrific performance.
Winx-like,
yeah.
There you go.
Speaking of terrific, Aidan O'Brien's dominating the English summer. He swept both the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas colts and fillies divisions in England and Ireland. And last night, he had six in the English Derby. One of his outsiders, Wings of Eagles, scores a famous win.
They race down inside the final two furlongs. Douglas MacArthur is chased all the way by Frankie Dettori on Cracksman. And here comes Cliffs of Moher down the wide outside under Ryan Moore. And he goes on sweeping past both of them. Eminent battling on two. Then Wings of Eagles, Cliffs of Moher, Wings of Eagles swooping though. And Wings of Eagles gets up to it. Wings of Eagles denies Cliffs of Moher and Cracksman fighting it out for second. And Eminent back in fourth.
And I speak to Tom Magnier very shortly, or a little bit later on in the program, but don't you love it when the commentators have some fun with it? Wings of Eagles swooping. Reminds me of what Darren Flindell said yesterday, which was Shiraz bottled up.
Oh, did he?
He did.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
He did.
It's very good, Darren. He's calling brilliantly, actually.
Yeah, there you go. So, yes, we'll speak to Tom Magnier very shortly as well. I tell you what, the talk topic, Raymond, we're going gangbusters here.
Inspiration for me.
Jordan to Baseball is another one that we've got on Twitter. And let's see what
we've
got
here. While you're looking, Don from Carlton, he's in fine form this morning, Don. This is a beauty. Mal Meninga's exit from ACT politics. Can you remember the radio interview?
Yeah, yes.
That went
for about three and a half minutes, I think. There you go. Famous exit, Solomon Hermano. leaving the Bulldogs to chase the pleasure machine, Gabriel Richens. Regards, eagle-eyed Phil. That's true. Dennis Tutty's exit from Balmain and restraint of trade court case, which ended transfer fees in rugby league. Cheers,
very
Chris.
Good point. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Write that down. Yeah, there
it
you go.
Back in the early 70s, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Was it late 60s?
Could be late 60s
late
even, 60s. Yeah.
Anyway, Talk Topic that's going gangbusters. We've got a 1998 Queensland... I don't know why you want that. But anyway, 1998 Queensland State of Origin jersey, courtesy of Classic Sportswear, to give away to the best one. And I tell you what, Chris, with Dennis Tutty, is looking the goods.
You'll love taking a shot at our great offers available across the NBA playoffs and finals. Plus, we have a huge range of markets open on every game. Place a bet on the NBA today on your Tab app, tab.com.au, or at your local. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
June is 10% end of financial year extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 10% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapwares, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. This June, use the code RADIO for your extra 10% discount at astivita.com.au. astivita.com.au.
And welcome back to the show. And Jim, this is very important for you because you've got to get the shortcut to find this place.
Are we right? We're smooth as a barbed wire sandwich this morning,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, but yeah. Back from Queensland in form. Right into Penrith Mazda. Mm. So we got, listen very carefully, for an amazing end of financial year deal on a new Mazda. Penrith Mazda have over 300 new cars in stock and over 50 utes on display in their Mazda Ute Centre.
6 acres.
You can exclusively reveal that.
Okay.
Yeah. Which means at Penrith Mazda, you get the best selection and the best prices on a new Mazda. Mm. So come and see the Mazda specialists, but hurry in before their amazing run-out deals run out.
Mm-hmm.
Penrith Mazda 2016 Mazda Master Dealer, family-owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. There's a shortcut there for you. Give me a tea later. Just off the M4, MD18808.
Don't miss out on your last 2017 pin-hooking opportunity at the Inglis Great Southern Weanling and Bloodstock Sale, June 18 to 21 at Oaklands Junction, Melbourne. For catalogues and information, visit inglis.com.au.
So we see with the outswinger.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Of course, we've had a massive Champions League final this morning and convincing win for Real Madrid. They really are a superpower, aren't they?
Wow.
4-1 over Juventus. We've got a big game for the Socceroos coming up on Thursday. This is important. From
a qualifying
point of view as well. So we thought we'd get former Socceroo, SBS football expert Craig Foster to give us a bit of an update. Morning, Craig.
Morning, guys.
Thanks very much for doing this. We do appreciate it. We know you've just come off air with SBS. Give us an understanding of we saw parts of the match, but the quality of the game and, I guess, the quality of the winner.
It was magnificent. It was, you know, two great, great historic clubs. And you're never quite sure whether the game is going to live up to that quality, live up to the billing, and it certainly exceeded expectations this morning. The first half just kicked off, and as soon as Cristiano Ronaldo put them ahead and really cemented himself once again as the likely Ballon d'Or winner this year, get his fifth alongside Lionel Messi and put himself even further into history as one of the all-time great players, then the game just kicked off, and Juventus had to then come out and really attack, try to get back into the game. And after that, second half, it was all Madrid, and it was an imperious performance. Really a fabulous final, one of the best we've seen for many years.
Wow, Craig. Craig, just on Cristiano Ronaldo, cometh the hour, cometh the man. How often does he step up in these big moments? Two goals again, and he got on the score sheet early, and he just has that capacity in these big games, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's been amazing last few years for him, actually. But what's interesting is that he has a incredible mentality himself, and he's a bit unfortunate that in his era, Leo Messi is also so prominent.
Yeah.
So Messi's got 5 Ballon d'Ors, and he's about to win his 5th, Cristiano. So, you know, many great players in history have sort of stood out alone during their period. Maradona's a good example.
Mm.
He was so far above anyone else, whereas these two guys are pushing each other, so that's the positive. The negative is this guy could have had 8 or 9 Ballon d'Ors. I mean, it's just incredible. Two of them are on a completely different planet.
Mm. Okay, so where do we... Do you start talking about these guys in the same breath as Maradona and Pele and probably George Best is another one that would be in that conversation?
Yeah, they're definitely among the top 3, 4, 5 players that ever pulled on a boot.
Wow.
And, you know, our game, obviously, with 208 countries and 9 countries playing, is so big. You've got an incredible array of amazing players. But... you can never split them, and opinion will never be complimentary among everyone. But, you know, I'm a great Maradona fan, and for Maradona, he led teams where he was the central piece, whereas Leo Messi has had more talent around him at club level and so on. And then in '86, really, he won the World Cup single-handedly, and we say that literally when it comes to the England game, Maradona. So they all have different qualities, but these two are among the they're talked in that breath, and you can't go wrong. If you were to say Cristiano Ronaldo is, in my view, the best player that ever played in the history of the game, someone might argue an alternate view, but they can't say you're wrong.
Yeah, it's a fair call. Hey Craig, what about Juventus? A very proud club, but again they've fallen short at the big final, so to speak, and this 4-1 defeat by one of their great rivals, that'll really hurt the Juventus club.
It does, because a bit like Real Madrid in Italy, and then in the early sort of going back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, they were a club that was very used to success. They won 6 Italian titles in a row again now. So they're very similar historically, the two clubs. That is, imperious, known for winning.
Yep.
When they came to big moments, they usually took the trophies. But in European Cup's been different. That's their 7th loss in a final in 9 attempts.
Wow.
And that's 5 in a row. So that's become a bit horrible now for them, and it's starting to become a weight around the neck. You know, the talent and the expenditure of Real Madrid, though, far exceeds Juventus. So it was a marvellous performance even to get back here. There's a couple of brilliant young players, but, you know, they've got a very fine, they've got a high-quality team, but there's a difference then between having a numerous of the very finest players in the world. Kroos, one of the best midfielders, Modric, unbelievable player, Isco, phenomenon, Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best ever. And you had Bale come on, although he didn't start, Benzema, fantastic. So there was a difference between the two teams, but it was only because Juventus have been so strong and performed so well that everyone thought, A, they had a chance, and many picked them, actually, to win, which was a bit of a challenge against a team like Real Madrid, who have now won 3 of the last 4.
Mm. All right, Craig, let's get to this game on Thursday. It's a very important
team.
World Cup qualifier against Saudi Arabia at the Adelaide Oval. We're really excited about what some of our players are doing on the world stage. Tommy Rogic scores a injury time
winner.
Confirmed
final.
It for Celtic. Aaron Moy gets Huddersfield Town to the English Premier League, and Trent Sainsbury has a run for Inter. It's a team in form, and I guess other players in the squad can lift off the back of those 3 individual performances.
Yeah, that's very true. So what you need when you come into these moments, i.e. really incredible month of June, so we need to get ourselves qualified for this World Cup. You know, to not qualify, we haven't even contemplated for years now.
Yeah.
And it would be, given where the game's at, which is really in a state of flux and change at the moment, uncertainty. You know, we're not quite sure where our professional game's going. We've got some political issues with, you know, FFA and the professional clubs and the state bodies, you know, with a bit of a sense of deja vu at the moment. We need some clear leadership and a bit of, you know, we're all searching for a clear path forward to get the game back on track. The failure to qualify for the World Cup really would be horrific. So, I don't believe that's going to happen. I never have. We're extremely strong on home soil. We always have been, even when we were semi-professionals or amateurs over the last 50 years. Anyone could come here, including Argentina in '93 and prior to that. Australia always had very solid performances on home, and we've got three of the last four games in qualifying here. So I think that'll be the defining factor that will see us through. But you're right what you say. You need your key players in particular in form, firstly fit, and we've had issues with Rogic and many of the players at key moments. So Ange Postecoglou has had to change the team at times when he would prefer not to. Right now, massive a month, and you've got Tom in form, fit for the first time for a while. You've got Aaron performing quite brilliantly and now up in the Premier League. They're going to be absolutely key to driving the team forward and being able to control the games for us in really tense moments.
Give us a score tip.
We'll score a couple, I think, in this game. I think it'll be probably 2-0.
2-0. 2-0. That'll do us.
That'll do us.
That'll do us, exactly.
Get the 3 points in the bag.
Craig, early start for you this morning, and you've just come off air with SBS. We really appreciate your time. Thanks for that update.
Pleasure. Always happy to chat. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. There he is, Craig Foster, a great supporter of the World Game. Australia up against Saudi Arabia, that match on Thursday. $1.47 are the Socceroos. The draw is paying $4, and Saudi Arabia $6.50.
Well, Bjorn Bakker had a big day yesterday, Jim. As I mentioned earlier, we did listen to Tess the World win. Of course, he had Bonnie O'Reilly win a stakes race in Brisbane. She's just gone through the grades like a steam train at the moment, and love to know what Bjorn's thoughts are for both these in-form mares. Bjorn, good morning, and firstly, Tess the World. She's 3 from 3 this prep and just charging through the grades.
Morning, guys. Yeah, no, she's a filly I've had a lot of promise with, even last preparation. Her form was really good, so she's still doing one or two things wrong. She's a big raw filly, but I do think she'll be better next preparation, but she's going so well. At the moment, you can get the bobs. We're very lucky in New South Wales, so you probably have to look for another winnable race, hopefully.
Yeah, so that's the plan, isn't it? Just to keep it going through the grades. And what do you say? The next preparation is the one where you start looking for maybe some listed events.
Correct. That's probably the way, and one step at a time, and patience can sometimes pay.
Well, you've shown that with Bonnie O'Reilly, Bjorn. You haven't pushed her too far too soon. You've worked your way through the grades. Yesterday she emerged as a stakes winner and it was quite dominant, so you can raise the bar again with her, Bjorn.
Yeah, we can indeed. She's been, I guess we've got three fillies and mares in the stable, Test the World, Bonnie O'Reilly and Your Way, and between them they seem to just about win every time, so it makes me look good, but probably lucky. But Bonnie O'Reilly was really good yesterday. So she's still in the Stradbroke, and it's going to be interesting whether she does get a run. I'd love to think she could. She's won 7 of 9. She's progressive. She's definitely going to add a lot to the race. So I guess we'll just have to see how the handicapper assesses it. If not, we may look at the Dane Ripper next Saturday as well as the lead-up for the Tatsiara. So she's gone from probably being looked after a little bit to going in the deep end, but you've got to have a crack at some stage.
Just looking at your two jockeys from yesterday, Jason Collard, who's been in outstanding form as well, and obviously Bonnie O'Reilly's part of that too. And I think Corey Brown, I know you're up in Brisbane, but Corey Brown, that's the first winner for Corey for your stable, and I guess if it is, he'll be on again soon.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works, Jimmy, but I haven't used him too much. Of course, he's been in Singapore, and I think even when I was with my father, he rode a horse called Fully Fledged for us that was placed a few times. But you've only got to look at his CV. He's a world-class jockey, so we're very lucky to have him in Sydney and even luckier to get him on. And Jason Collett's continuing to do a really good job. He's got a great strike rate for me this year. He's very good to work with. He's low-key, and he lets his results do the talking.
And just finally, Bjorn, that protest that I said it was almost over in record time, you had no issues at all walking in. You were pretty confident?
Oh, I hadn't. You never really know in the heat of the battle. You're sort of watching. I like to get involved and cheer them home, and I get a bit of a kick out of it. So you're not too sure until you get in and have a look at the front on and side on. But I think once I had a look at the front on, I thought it would be okay.
Yeah. Well, a wise man once told me the best form of defence is attack. So you've just gone in, got on the front foot straight away. I think it was frivolous the word you used at one point, was it, Bjorn?
Well, the main thing is we held the race and we move on.
Exactly.
Well done.
Terrific day. Great day. Bonnie O'Reilly's flying. We look forward to seeing what happens next Saturday. Beyond the fact that just finally beyond the Stradbrokes at Doomben probably plays in Bonnie O'Reilly's favour if she can get a run.
Yeah, I think so. But also, if it was at Eagle Farm, I think, well, she'd probably be more likely to get a run. And I just think she's so genuine that she gets through any type of track. So I guess one positive and one negative for either way. So, look, I'd love to see her in there. I think I've more than likely got Egyptian Thimble in the race as well. And it's a time-honoured event, so we'll just have to see how it works out.
Good on you, Bjorn. Good luck for those horses next week. Well done yesterday, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Bjorn. Very straight interview with Bjorn Baker. We didn't really... sometimes it can go a little bit left field.
Interesting line you use, because one of my old football coaches had the opposite view. The best form of attack is defence.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of ways to look at it.
Exactly, yeah. He said, keep them scoreless and you'll win.
Well, Jack Gibson used to always talk about the great Muhammad Ali, and the best thing about him was his defence. No one could hit him.
Very good point. A bit like Kostya Zoo in his prime. Couldn't hit him. Ever tell you that story about Bill Morty? You said, watch this kid. He'll stand in the centre of the ring, almost like he puts a handkerchief down.
You're right.
And you won't be able to hit him. And he fought a guy in the semi-finals in that Australian Championships in 91. First time I've seen Kostya Zoo fight.
Yeah.
I reckon it was like he was standing on a handkerchief. He hardly moved, and this big, tall American could not lay a glove on him. It was unbelievable to watch.
Clearly Innes at $3.50 favourite for the Stratty. Counter-attack at $6. So let's get down to Bonnie O'Reilly at $13.
She needs a run, Jim,
Egyptian Symbol at $17.
And she mightn't get in, Bonnie O'Reilly.
There you go. Appreciate that. Now, lots of tweets and the SMS are coming in, the phone calls as well. Here's one from Brett Kubel. BK, when the Boston Red Sox sold Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees, curse of the Bambino. There you go. That's the
producer
one we're
Jeremy,
after,
I love
producer
that
Jeremy.
One.
Fantastic. Loved it. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tanya.
Howdy, folks. Good morning, everyone. Racing today in New South Wales is at Dubbo and Murwillumbah. Starting with Dubbo, the weather is fine. The track are good for the rail true, and there are 21 scratchings. Race 1, take out 5, Coasting. 6, Zada. 8, Nora Girl. 13, Finney Realtor. And 18, Blinkin' Snazzy. 5, 6, 8, 13 and 18. Race 2 is clear. To the third, take out 15, Irish Spy. 16, My Little Soldier. 17, Snippy Bear. And 18, Recital. 15, 16, 17 and 18. Race 4, number 4, Hayden Boy. 10, Wildy Irish Dream. And 17, Thin Ice. 4, 10 and 17. Race 5, take out 15, Venus Amoris, number 15. Race 6, number 15, Pride of Venice. 16, Sword Fighter. 17, Slickster. And 18, Champagne Warrior. 15, 16, 17 and 18. Race 7 is clear. And out of race 8, number 3, Mersatian. 17, The Clash. 19, Diamond Costa. And 20, Umungri. 3, 17, 19 and 20. Out of race 8 at Dubbo. Murwillumbah, the weather is fine. The track is soft 6. The rail true. And 19 scratchings. Race 1, take out 2, Plectrum, number 2, 3, Pundit, 9, Happy Feet, 12, Swipe Right, 13, Alastriona, and 15, Penny for Them. 2, 3, 9, 12, 13, and 15 out of race 1. Race 2, take out 4, Redimus, 5, Star Echo, 12, Wooditon, and 14, Tony's Luck. 4, 5, 12 and 14. Race 3, number 1, Answered, number 1 from the 3rd. Out of race 4, number 5, Atisket, Atasket, and 14, Electric Anna, 5 and 14. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 7, Budget Bender, and 12, I Do Care, 7 and 12 out of the 6. And to the last race 7, take out 10, Mr. Malu, 12, Fairy Dancer, 14, Siostra, and 15, Premier Place. 10, 12, 14 and 15 out of race 7 at Murwillumbah.
Couple of tips today, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy,
just the one winner for you last week out of the three. Paid $10, thanks very much.
Good thing there.
Well done.
Dubbo today, tough mini, showcase mini. Race 4, number 5, Mr. Casson comes off a terrific run at Scone behind a smart horse in Decepticon. It'll be really hard to beat. Race 4, number 5, Mr. Casson. Then down to race 7, this is a great clash between Lake Lugano and Walk Right In. Take the Quinella. I think Lake Lugano can win race 7, number 1, but number 8, Walk Right In, a definite danger. Murwillumbah, best bet of the day, race 5, number 1, Alatora. lovely race for Alatora. And our each-way special today, Jimmy, is at Moolumbah. Race 2, number 7, Yapoon. First starter will run well.
Yapoon, up there in Brisbane.
First starter? Up there in central North Queensland, Yapoon.
Yapoon?
Yeah, up near Rockhampton.
Is it?
Yeah.
That far up?
Well, late father used to live there.
Oh, there we go. So. Well, you would know, Raymond.
Absolutely.
There you go. So that's the each-way, is it?
I've
just got to mark these down because they all win, generally speaking. No, anyway, that's the way we like to work here on a Sunday morning. Speaking of, a bit of work. Zorba coming up next. Rachel King, Tom Bagnia, the Z&Z Quiz, and Dean, Bulldog, Richie. All that happening after the news.
Intelligence officials are becoming increasingly alarmed at Chinese government influence in Australia. A five-month-long Four Corners Fairfax investigation shows Beijing is active across a vast array of fronts, from directing Chinese student associations, threatening Australian-based Chinese dissidents, seeking to influence academic inquiry, co-opting community groups and controlling most Chinese language media. Louisa Lim is an academic and former China correspondent who spoke to the ABC's Four Corners program.
The level of Chinese involvement here does seem to be deeper and more extensive than in other countries.
Chinese-linked donations have also brought access and influence in Australian politics. Police divers have found the body of a 78-year-old man whose boat capsized in the Murray River at Murray Bridge East. 78-year-old Norman Grace's 3-metre tinny suffered engine problems before tipping over. The elderly man was accompanied by his two grandchildren. Both were wearing life jackets and able to swim to shore. Detectives have finished a meticulous recovery operation at the believed burial site of murdered Sydney man Matthew Leveson. A team of forensics officers completed work at the crime scene in the Royal National Park yesterday, 3 days after human remains were unearthed from beneath a cabbage tree palm. A 32-year-old man has sexually assaulted a teenage girl half his age in a stairwell in Melbourne's southeast, with police calling for witnesses. The 16-year-old girl met up with the male acquaintance at Moorabbin train station on May 21 at about 9:30 p.m. The pair made their way to a stairwell in Central Avenue to sit down and have a cigarette when the man sexually assaulted her. Witnesses are being urged to come forward if they heard anything between 9:30 and 10 p.m. in the vicinity of Central Avenue and a nearby supermarket. CCTV footage is being reviewed and witnesses are sought to a high-speed fatality in Brisbane South overnight. A male motorcyclist lost control of his ride on the Gateway Motorway at Belmont around 1 a.m. with the crash captured on security cameras. Inspector Rob Graham told the ABC it's the worst motorcycle fatality he's seen in 30 years of policing.
Police and fire and emergency services attended, and there's no other way to describe it. They were confronted with a horrific scene.
Meanwhile, a head-on collision between a car and semi-trailer has claimed the life of one man and seriously injured another on the Burnett Highway at Banban Springs near Gaynder. A man has suffered minor burns and a woman has been treated for smoke inhalation following a kitchen fire in a Melbourne home. Emergency services were called to the Baldwin North home around 5 a.m. this morning with reports the flames had spread to the roof, causing an estimated $250,000 in damage. The woman and man, both 70, were taken to hospital for treatment. Also in news, a man in his 40s is fighting for life after an explosion and fire at a unit in North Perth. A Melbourne heart surgeon brutally attacked outside the hospital he worked at remains in a critical condition. Queensland's Labor government says it needs to pass its controversial land clearing laws in order to reach targets to protect the Great Barrier Reef. And two people have escaped unharmed after shots were fired into a Western Sydney home early this morning. This is AIR News. The Brumbies have qualified for the Super Rugby finals with a bonus point victory over the Melbourne Rebels, clinching the Australian Conference and setting up their fifth consecutive appearance. The Brumbies are likely to face a New Zealand side when they host a final on either July 21 or 22, with the Chiefs, Highlanders and Hurricanes jostling for wildcard spots. The Force lost to the Hurricanes in Perth. New South Wales Origin lock Tyson Frizzell was taken from the field with a rib injury as St George Illawarra held on for a 16-12 NRL win over the West Tigers. The Blues starting forward was injured attempting a tackle on Tim Grant midway through the second half. The scoreline was the fourth straight loss for the West Tigers, but coach Ivan Cleary is optimistic their side is improving.
Yeah, we're definitely making some progress. We competed hard, but yeah, we also know we've got to play better.
West Coast coach Adam Simpson has lamented the Eagles' lack of personnel during yesterday's three-point AFL loss to the Gold Coast. They lacked penetration without their star forward Josh Kennedy, who's out with a calf injury. Kennedy leads the Coleman medal race with 34 goals in 10 games. The trend for us is that we've lost three in a row now. We haven't been able to close it out and we need to find a way, Simpson said. Final score, 11-14-80 Suns to 11-11-77 Eagles. Wins also to the Tigers and Giants this round. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Noir. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Think normal is your child spending hours in front of a screen every day? It's time to rethink normal. Head to makehealthynormal.nsw.gov.au to find out more. We've got delays heading to the airport. It's bumper to bumper on Marsh Street and Airport Drive approaching International Terminal. The M5 East is crawling too on approach to Marsh Street just past Barton Park. And in the city, look out for clearways and road closures around Circular Quay. The HSC and Careers Expo is on now with over 140 exhibitors. Ends today at Royal Hall of Industry's Moore Park. See hscandcareers.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Your business needs a cash injection to grow, but the banks say no.
You need it nice and simple, and they still say no.
You don't want to hand over the deed to your house, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just three bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
All covered, all grounds, all beaky. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny, light winds, maximum 20.
That's the easiest weather report you've ever read.
That's an SMS. Someone has SMS'd that in.
No, that's what it is. It's beautiful outside.
Yeah, I know, but we know the guys at the POM on a Sunday morning. Mate, just as, what are we going to do? Mostly sunny.
You can't say
light
that.
Winds. Yeah, autocorrect. Like winds. Wands. No, it's winds. Like wands.
It's a professional outfit, Jim. Because on that same thing,
yeah,
Maryland's.
So, let's get to it.
It's currently 11 degrees.
Maryland's. Raymond, what's the temperature right now at Maryland's up there at Mwillimba?
11 degrees. Producer Jeremy's having apoplexy outside, telling us to hurry up. Maryland's 11 degrees, heading for a top temperature of 19 today. Mwillimba, they're racing up there later on today. Currently it's 14 degrees, heading for a top temperature of 21. Partly cloudy. Beautiful day, Mwillimba.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the PT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. A big hour for the show coming up. Peter Peters, Rachel King, Tom Magnier, the Z&Z quiz score update.
12-9.
Well done.
Fight back.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie. So all that coming up very shortly. Just to let you know, there has been an incident on London Bridge. Police asking people to stay away from the area. So just let you know that is happening. But I've
every
got to
day
say,
these days,
Roman, you can't let the bastards win.
We're heading over there shortly.
Yeah, I know.
But that's the very point that Tanya and I are taking. You can't let them win.
Can't let the bastards win. Boys, 10 out of 10 for Cathy O'Hara for a ride on single gaze. I stuck solid despite Cathy's last start brain explosion ride and my doubts about the 2,200 because I believe single gaze is best distance is a mile. Recoup my losses and made a few bob. Marcus.
Well done, Marcus.
On you, Marcus.
Solid.
Stick solid.
Good
stick
job.
Solid. Now, we've got our exits, Raymond. Hi, boys.
Mm-hmm.
No bigger exits in VFL than Ron Barassi from Melbourne to Carlton. Barassi was the best player in the comp. Melbourne were at their peak and went backwards big time, whilst Carlton then launched into their most successful era. Cheers. Wow. From Coolerman. You're on your wow. I reckon
right.
That's your first.
That was the early 60s, Jim. Melbourne had won about 4 flags in 6 years. Barassi was the biggest name in the game.
Yep.
went to Carlton, who were cellar dwellers, so they are now, and won a flag in a couple of years, 68, 70, 72, great year for the Blue Boys.
There you go. Now, you've got your Carlton shirt on today, too, and one thing I've noticed
they're
this
morning... They're not playing today, so they can't
lose.
All
right, they're a chance. one thing I look is that there's a Latin phrase under it, and I know you'll know the meaning of it.
I actually don't.
You don't? What?
I don't.
The Latin phrase under the Carlton logo.
Google this.
Believe it. Yeah.
Google
anyway, last one here. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. I'm surprised no one has mentioned Jared Haynes' exit to the NFL. Or was that a dream? Cheers, EJ.
Of course.
Nice one, EJ. Nice one.
It
wasn't a dream on Wednesday night. It was an outstanding performance from New South Wales. Perhaps the most dominant we've ever seen at Suncorp Stadium by a team in blue.
Record margin, wasn't it?
It was a record margin, but I think that belied just how dominant they were. Let's see what our man Zorba thought of the whole thing. He's on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Good morning, boys. Pretty easy to sum up. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
What about the ex-Tari Pirate? He looks like he's going to be the next Test captain after Cameron Smith, and he won't forget his last week in a hurry. Debut as captain for New South Wales and drove his side relentlessly on Wednesday. And he's been a standout in the role for the Roosters all season. He did the job last night. Try just before half-time. Try 10 minutes from full-time. Wrapped it up for the Roosters in a tough game against the Brisbane Broncos, where both sides were greatly affected by Origin, but gave their all, 18-6 at the Roosters at one stage, and they had to hang on and win 18-16. Nine players backing up. I don't know. I think it's going to come a time when we can't do this.
Interesting comments from Boyd Cordner after the game, so I don't know if you heard him. He said he actually enjoys it when he backs up. He finds it easier. I couldn't believe his post-match press conference last night, but he made that point. He actually finds it not too bad on the quick backup.
Well, he's got a weekend now, or the rest of the weekend, to relax and get over the bumps and bruises, and he can start his treatment as from last night after that game. So it's better to get over and done with.
Yeah.
And the players like to start their recovery as soon as they can, and they can't do that really until they play that backup game.
Yeah, but Zorb, you know better than most because you're close to the players there. But you know, if you looked at the way Matt Gillett was throughout the course of that game, Darius Boyd at the end of the game, Blake Ferguson and Corey Oates, these guys, they were just completely under the pump. The other guys like your Thaydays and your Agueras, they played just minutes off the bench. But those guys who played full games, it's too much of a toll. You said the time might be right for that. The time was right a few years ago. Mm. It's got to change.
Yeah. Imagine if it had gone to extra time.
If
Tahu would have kicked that conversion from out wide, and he'd been kicking well, but the pressure got to him. He hooked it left, and that was it. But imagine asking him to back up for an extra 10 minutes. Wow.
Yeah. Hey, Zorb, what do Queensland do?
Mm. Oh, they've got to make changes. They've been loyal. And now it's got to the point where they can't do that. I mean, Hess has got to go in. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And they've got to bring Billy Slater back. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They've got to win the next game or the series is gone. And I think they'll do what they've got to do. I think Kevy looks a nice guy on the outside, but I think he'll be pretty ruthless with the selection of this side. There's got to be some changes. And looking at Hess last night, coming off the bench, he's got impact. They didn't have any impact the other night off the bench. I mean, if you compare him with some of the forwards that played the other night, it's Farlap and Radish.
Yeah, no, good point. Well, we were discussing it earlier, and Jimmy made the point of how you fit in people like Valentine Holmes, who plays for Australia, couldn't make Queensland Origin 1, must come back in Origin 2. Where do you put him in? If Slater comes back in, Jas O'Neill's the first one gone, I think, Zorb, but Corey Oates and Dane Gagai, they're probably two of Queensland's better players on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Well, put Gagai in the centres and put Valentine Holmes on the wing without a doubt.
Yep.
So that's got to be done.
Where does Boyd play then?
Well, Boyd's got to play on the wing. You drop. You've got to drop the centre. He was awful.
O'Neill.
So you drop him and you just move Gagai from the wing to the centre and put Boyd on the wing.
Yep. We drop Oates. Jimmy's a bit of a rap for Oates, aren't you? He liked
Oates. Did nothing wrong. I'd hang on to him.
No.
The Gagai was really good. No, I agree with that.
No. One of the things about the game was how it flowed, especially in that first half, which was a lot to do with the players and a lot to do with the referees.
Yep, and I want to give a real sums up for the performance of Matt Tekken. He's the game's number one whistleblower by a long, long way. He didn't blow the pee out of the whistle. He understands the game. He let the players decide the game. The first half was just on for young and old. It's just up and back at a great pace. It's a shame the rest of the referees didn't take notice. Friday's rests were terrible. Oh. Ben Cummings last night, the penalty on Benji Marshall, the vital game, part of the game. It was a rookie-like mistake. And it's interesting to note that I'm not making any aspersions here, but five from five home teams this week have won after Origin 1. The Titans, they had no ball in the first half in Townsville last night, yet they led 8-6. And in the second half, a lot of the mistakes were their own. I'm not going to point the finger at the referee. If you can't beat the time clock for a line dropout, well, you're giving up 2 points when you can't afford to. And then you fail to go to the 10th in the kickoff. I mean, Neil Henry must be pulling whatever hair he's got out. But six straight penalties in the second half, it was impossible for them to win that game.
And yet still defensive, they were in it for such a long time. We say it every week, they're an underrated side, the Titans. If they get a bit of luck go their way, Zorb, they're a really good football team.
Yeah, Jimmy, you make your own luck. I mean, those penalties they gave away were just stupid. The ref had no option. Some of the other games I thought were the refs just aren't up to it yet, but they'll get there, I hope. Another player who must be shaking his head is Kieran Foran. Oh, he must be counting the games before he joins the Bulldogs. He set up three tries for the under-achieving Warriors. I had a lot to say about them over the year. They still haven't won a game away from home in New Zealand. Against Parramatta on Friday night, they weren't in the game, then they were in it, they weren't in it, then they were in it, and it was Fozzie, Kieran Foran every time, but it wasn't enough to get them home against the Parasite that really was rocked by injuries before and during the game. No one wins on the road in 2017, as I said, for the Warriors, and they are a nightmare. I just wonder, even in this Origin period where they usually get a leg up because they don't have anyone except one player in Origin, and I don't know whether they're good enough to take advantage of it.
They're not this year, are they? Yeah. Doesn't seem that way. Anyway, just based on that then, home sides, you would think Manly a big chance today. Do they form part of your Zapper?
Well, I don't really like to suggest them, but I think today at home, they've had a week off and they needed it. I think they'll get the Raiders, and I think the Panthers are coming to make a charge in this competition. And personally, I'm glad that that they have now put Matt Moylan at 5'8". I think that's a terrific move for them. And they've got Josh Mansour back and a great recovery from a horrible knee injury he suffered while away with the Kangaroos at the end of last year. I think they'll have too many points in them for the Bulldogs. Some interesting reports today that David Clemmer wants out of the Bulldogs. Story in one Sunday paper and then denied in the other paper. So I don't know what the basis is of that, but it mustn't be a happy camper, I suppose. It's got something to do with third-party outside payments. They seem to be the biggest problem in the game at the moment. Players that are promised and don't get it jump up and down.
It's either that or he's worked out that Aaron Woods is coming for nearly twice as much money he's on, and he's probably a better player.
Oh, no doubt, probably. I think in the eyes of most, he would be. And he's certainly a very key part of their side. Agree, Jimmy.
All right, what's your Zapper, mate? Manly's the outsider. They're $2 today.
The Seagulls?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we haven't won at Lotto Land. Oh, we've won one game. We gave it to the Bulldogs. But, well, I'll go Seagulls into Panthers at the line both games.
Okay, so Seagulls plus 1.5. And that gets you the $1.90, and into the Panthers minus 2.5.
That'll do me.
Yeah, okay. That's into the dollar. That's $1.90 as well. So there you go. There's your Zappers.
The only thing there is I'm going away from five home teams that have won this weekend. I'm going for another one in the Seagulls, but it's I think it's the Bulldogs home game today, isn't it?
It is. Yep.
Zorba, you've always been one to zag when everyone else is zigging.
Very slowly.
Good on you, mate. We'll speak next Sunday.
See you, boys.
There he is, Peter Peters, with all his thoughts on the game of rugby league. He's Zapper, $1.90, Manly plus 1.5, into the Panthers minus 2.5. And we have a bit of an update here from Tom on SMS, Raymond,
Carlton
about the Carlton
motto. A sound mind in a healthy body.
Right. You know what? That sounds like you. That sounds like you. A sound mind in a healthy body. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's get back to callers because we've got a jersey to give away, courtesy of Classic Sportswear.
And caps as well.
And caps, both New South Wales and Queensland. Let's go to Dougie on the line. Hello, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Doug.
Really well, mate.
I've got two topics. I just want to talk about James Tedesco.
Tedesco.
He's playing fantastic football.
He was amazing on Wednesday night, wasn't he? I didn't see a lot of the Tigers St George game yesterday, Jim, but on Wednesday night, I don't think you could have seen a better fullback display than what Tedesco put on.
Yeah, and the best tips, Ray, is Johnny Woods from Forbes reckons you've got best tips on racehorses.
Oh, well, I didn't go that well yesterday, unfortunately. You have your good and bad days, Doug.
So. You know Johnny Woods from Forbes is exactly right, Doug. I tell you what, he's what I'd describe as a Sunday specialist, Ray Thomas. If you follow his tips on a Sunday, you're just making profit.
Well, we hope so. We hope so.
No, I am.
How's that wrestling tape going?
Got to say, Doug, haven't gone back to it since we watched it first time. I think even my boys, aged 6 and 5, they could actually sniff out that it wasn't fair to them.
Oh, God, they're only acting, mate.
The boys worked that one out, I think.
They're only acting, Doug.
He's shattered, Doug. Hey, Doug, you're a blues man, aren't you, Doug?
Yes, I am.
Here comes a cap your way.
Cap coming your way, Dougie. Stay on the line. Actually, you know what? I reckon we've got Doug's address, so we've seen him a bit of stuff.
We've got Anthony on the line too. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
The Nexus, but as I said through the week, Jimmy, don't underestimate the change of philosophy from the bozo big boppers, let's win 10-6, 10-8, to the solo philosophy of skill and second phase, no matter what size, and trust the man beside you. I reckon that's been underestimated this week. I know they want to give Laurie a big rap, and he deserves all the rest he gets, but let's not underestimate the change of philosophy from Brazzard to Sterlo.
Anthony, there's a lot of parts to being a coach these days. One of the parts is coaching. Another part is selecting.
Yep. And don't you don't think the big change from Brazzard to Sterlo was made a big difference on the...
I don't know if it's a big change in their philosophy. You know, it certainly changed the
tide.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that they're still using big guys. They've still got Fifita, got Woods, and they've still got
And
Kramer.
They didn't have Slater, Thurston, Inglis, Scott. So we can't forget that.
And that's exactly right.
Okay, you want to protect Bozo, that's right.
Listen, I tell you what, Anthony, we're not in the business of protecting anyone. As you can tell by...
I know you're not, but...
By panel operator Hamish having a massive go at me last hour.
He did.
Ronaldo from Real Madrid was the only player that Fergo didn't want to let go. The other guys, like Beckham, that he sort of let go of their peak and that to make way for others, but with Ronaldo, he never wanted Ronaldo to go. He was too young, but Ronaldo actually wants him to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And a couple of cricket ones. Mm-hmm. Gilly went to WA because he didn't want to be a batsman under Phil Emery. He wanted to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget those Queenslanders. Not only did they get England to Palau, they got Border. And Greg Chappell.
Thompson.
Jeff Thompson.
And Jeff Thompson. And the worst thing is they call themselves Queenslanders now.
Greg Inglis.
Inglis. Ian Botham.
And listen, and a couple of... And Freddie went to the Roosters. And a couple of sad ones. Brandy had to go to the Warriors.
Mm.
And Margaret Court lost from reality. I'm sorry to say.
I can't believe that topic is still going on. Hey, really good call, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony. Stay on the line there.
Blue Boys cap coming out your way.
Yeah,
good on you,
cap,
mate.
Yeah, we've got a couple of... Look, if we can't give away these Queensland caps,
Brett
I'll be making good rags here.
Often sends in an SMS.
Yeah, well.
So we'll see if he does this morning.
I think he already has this morning. We'd better find that one. Just on that, during the week, did you see the open letter from Martina Navratilova to Margaret Court Arena?
Jimmy, the only thing I want to say about this is that I can't believe that they're going to change the name or potentially considering change the name of that arena. I know this is causing a massive drama, but I can't believe it's gone on for a week.
She waded back into it, Margaret.
No, she's not helping us.
I think I made comment of it last week, but she waded back into it.
She's not helping us.
It's now clear. This is what Martina Navratilova wrote. It is now clear exactly who Court is. An amazing tennis player and a racist and a homophobe. She offered Yvonne Goolagong Arena. It's such a sad situation.
It is,
the lack of empathy that Margaret Court...
Andy Murray's calling for a potential boycott of Margaret Court Arena during the Australian Open.
You know, just incredible. Yet to play out. It will play out. We're going to play out too. Play out to the break and then we're back with more.
Mum, it's EOFY time. What do we call our sale this year?
The end of financial year sale.
The end of financial year sale? You.
I didn't say that.
Say what?
The end of financial year sale.
You said it again.
Lionel, repeat after me. The one and only.
The one and only.
End of financial year sale at Bingley.
The end of financial year sale at Bingley.
I give up. The end of financial year sale at Bingley.
When prices are seriously reduced, store-wide.
It's on now.
But you'd love to win the ultimate UFC experience. Well, with TAB, UFC's official betting partner, you could. We're offering a fight fan and a friend the trip of a lifetime to Las Vegas for UFC International Fight Week. The prize includes flights, accommodation, VIP tickets, and more. For your chance to win, simply head to TAB.com.au and correctly pick who will win UFC 212, Aldo or Holloway. TAB, we love a bet. Full terms and conditions apply. See TAB.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, Al and the team have been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. Mm-hmm. So, if you want the official watch of your team, if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan at ZNZ Westfield Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the St George Junior referees.
It's John Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. John Snow in front. John Snow from Harper's Choice's game. John Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Well, this young lady had a memorable day at Rose Hill yesterday, Jim. As you mentioned earlier, she went to Rose Hill without ever riding a Sydney Saturday winner. She left with a brace of wins.
And a double.
Rachel King's been good enough to join us this morning. Rachel, good morning and congratulations. A terrific day. And can I firstly take you to Just Dreaming? Very nice filly, terrific win. What was the feeling like when you got your first Sydney Saturday winner on Just Dreaming? Good morning, Rachel.
Just Dreaming at Scone, and we look at the Scone form that's come out of that, a fourth in the English Guineas, yes. And it's again another one of these, the Scone form that's really holding up, Rachel.
Yeah, look, it was a great run there. I didn't ride her up there. I'd actually never ridden the horse before.
Yeah, right.
But she had a really tough run at Scone. She sort of had no luck. She drew a very awkward gate and didn't have a lot of luck, but still ran a very strong race. So we were quite hopeful going into yesterday's race, but obviously it's, you know, obviously very tough, always on a Saturday in the city, so it was good to see her do that.
And you completed a double, Rachel, on supply and demand for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, who you've been apprenticed to. Is it about 18 months now, Rachel?
Yes, it would be. I've been working for Gay for about 3 years.
Yep.
I've been in Australia, but I've only been race riding for about 18 months, just over.
That's
so it was, yeah, just to have a winner for them as well, you know, great, you know, they've given me a lot of support. Gay and Adrian are very good to me, and just break through on the first day. But two trainers that have given me what support the whole way through made it even better.
Yeah, one like a classic Waterhouse slash bot. Yeah, up on pace, and is that the way that they've asked you to ride, or that's the way the supply and demand just likes being ridden?
It was a bit of a sort of question mark with him yesterday about the trip. Only ever been running over a mile, and we weren't really sure whether he would actually get, you know, any further than that. But he was in two races, and luckily for me, he ran in that race, and they just said, Adrian, we had a chat beforehand, and we said, if we can try and lead and get as soft a lead as possible, you know, without doing too much work, and he's rock hard fit, he had no weight on his back, so if he was ever going to see out the trip, it was going to be yesterday, and he definitely threw it out well.
Do you have a scrapbook, Rachel?
Sort of, yeah. I try and keep hold of everything possible. You know, it's hard to keep on top of it, but I try and sort of keep as many articles and things like that as possible.
Well, you got another one today because you've made front page news of the Sunday Punter lift out in the biggest selling newspaper in the country.
Great picture, Jenny.
Oh, great. I actually haven't seen the paper yet, so that's great.
Oh, it's a fantastic couple of photos on Just Dreaming and Supply and Demand. The Supply and Demand one's an action shot. Ray Thomas is the racing editor of that newspaper, and he just loves his photos, and he was very chuffed about this one today. So there's one for the scrapbook, Rachel.
Great,
oh,
that might have to be framed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Rachel, you did ride for a while in England before you came out to Australia, and is it right when you first came out it was only for like a bit of a working holiday, but you liked it so much you've stayed here?
Yeah, that was the case. I actually rode more so as an amateur in England. Our system's a little bit different. We sort of start as amateurs and then progress on to the apprentice ranks, and I did try to be apprentice in England, but I lasted about 6 months, and I just couldn't get a go. I tried, you know, I was working hard, but I just couldn't really kind of break through at all there, and I think I had one winner in about 6 months over there as an apprentice and really struggled. So I came over during the English winter just for a couple of months just to sort of refresh myself a bit more and just try and learn a bit, and then I was, you know, the plan was to go back to England and give it one more go and, you know, really try, and I had a different new trainer to go to, and had it all sort of planned, but once I came over and saw the opportunities here and just the support that female jockeys get, I thought, well, if I'm going to give it one go, I'd be better to do it here, where I, you know, can see that there's a lot more opportunities than go back to England where I know I've already struggled.
Yeah, well, it's certainly working in your favour, and of course you won your first stakes race just last month for Tullock Lodge on Stampede in the Wagga Cup, and even better day for you yesterday, Blake Spriggs, your boyfriend, got his first winner since he's come back from injury at Kembla, so it would have been a pretty happy household.
Yeah, definitely, it was a very happy household last night, so it's really good for Blake to get that winner back again. He's worked really hard coming back from injury and made it even better for us both yesterday.
Well, that'll do, mate. You've just gone through, Rachel, and told me about the opportunities that you've got here and why that's better than the opportunities that you've got in England from a horse riding point of view. But really, all along, you're just another Pommy backpacker that's found an Aussie boyfriend.
You can't say those things.
Yeah, I guess you can say that, yeah.
Come on.
You want Rachel to come back on the show one day,
don't you? She'll be back. You keep putting her on the front page of the Sunday Lift, yeah?
Well, she'll be riding winners like this, she will be, yeah.
Fantastic, Rachel. Well done. Really great to have you a part of the show this morning, and good luck into the future.
Thanks very much.
There she is, Rachel King, who's
had a couple. She'll come back. I hope she does.
Of course she'll come back. You know why? She laughed because he's got a spot on that bloke. He found a boyfriend, so I'm hanging around. That's how it works, mate. That's the way great relationships start, right?
They both had winning days.
Remember when you wanted to leave this program?
Oh, yeah.
And then producer Tanya convinced you to stay. Next thing you know, you're married.
Funny how that works.
That's how it happens, mate. We all thought that Tanya was bringing in the cookies for Malcolm and myself. No, they weren't for us. They weren't for us.
Now
we should have known better. Hey, by the way, Brett from Broadbeach, why don't we just send
him
one of these caps anyway?
Yeah.
Morning, boys.
Has he chimed in?
Yeah, outstanding win by the Blues, and with all the hype after the win, should we Queenslanders even turn up for game two? Sounds like you're all done and dusted. Yeah, pretty much.
Beware the wounded cane toad, yes.
Beware the wounded cane toad. Love the show, boys. Brett from Broadbeach. All right, Brett, we're going to send you out a cap. Courtesy of Classic Sportswear. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Sky Sports Radio is powered up for the winter. Whether it's thoroughbred, harness or greyhound racing, we bring you the very best from right around New South Wales. Weekdays, Racing HQ's News Hour from 9 a.m. is followed by form analysts previewing all the New South Wales major meetings.
Ready to putt on today, mate. Hope we find good winners.
That's what we want. Hey, any winner's a good, even a bad winner's a good winner. Don't worry about that.
Whether your appetite is for racing or sports, you can rely on Sky Sports Radio for the winning formula.
Lano, your office is dusty. You should vacuum it.
I'll do it in a few minutes.
No, do it now.
I mean, it'll only take me a few minutes. I'll use a Dyson cord-free hand stick. That's what busy people do these days, Mum.
Oh, I
know.
The cord freeze is so easy to use and so powerful. You can just do small, quick cleans when you need to. Dyson is changing the way we vacuum.
So show me the way we vacuum.
I'll put it on my urgent list.
Put it on. You mean put it off?
Check out the Dyson cord free hand stick range now at Bingley.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network. Don't miss out on your last 2017 pin-hooking opportunity at the Inglis Great Southern Weanling and Bloodstock Sale, June 18 to 21 at Oaklands Junction, Melbourne. For catalogues and information, visit inglis.com.au.
Werther is right up to the task, and he sweeps to the lead, getting past Blazing Speed, deeper out Eagle Way, then Gold Mount Elaine Charisma inside the furlong. Werther bloke clear from Blazing Speed, then Eagle Way, but Werther, the horse of the year, is roaring away with the champions and Chater from Blazing Speed and Eagle Way. How sweet it is, Werther!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show, Jimmy. One of the iconic races in world racing overnight, the English Derby, or as they call it over there, the Epsom Derby, and won by an outsider of Aidan O'Brien's team, Wings of Eagle, ridden by Padraig Beggy, who I mentioned earlier was running in New South Wales country tracks for a while a couple of years ago. Went back home and he's just landed his biggest winner and continued Coolmore's extraordinary start for the English summer. They're winning all the classics at the moment, and Tom Magnier from Coolmore has been good enough to join us. Tom, good morning, and a bit of a surprise, I suppose, Wings of Eagle, but an Aidan O'Brien, Coolmore, Quinella. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, morning, guys. How you getting on?
Terrific. And what, I suppose it was a surprise to see Wings of Eagles win the derby, but, gee, he was impressive the last 200, his finishing burst.
Yeah, you know, I suppose if you're watching it, you kind of thought that Ryan was going to win it. But it was great for Wings of Eagle. So Paul Moore, the sire, won it a couple of years ago. So it's a great result.
Yeah, punting stable because 40-1 sounds pretty juicy. Although you probably had a couple of others there you thought were a much better chance, Tom.
Yeah, you know, listen, it was a big price. I definitely didn't have it in there, but. Listen, it's a great story for Park, and you know it's racing needs those good stories.
Mm. Yeah, well, of course he left Australia and had to go back and rebuild his career in Ireland, and went to work at Ballydoyle and picked up a Derby winning ride. And as I mentioned earlier, Tom, it's continued what's been an extraordinary start for the stable in England and Ireland this summer. You've won both the 2,000 guineas in England and Ireland, both the 1,000 guineas, and now the Derby. It's a fantastic start for the season.
Yeah, you know, like we've obviously got a great team at home, and obviously Aidan is doing an unbelievable job. And then I suppose when you're coming down the layout mix, it's giving us a good start to the season. But you know, we've got Royal Ascot coming up, and you know, listen, I just hopefully the horses run well there. You know, to be fair, there's a good team at home. Mm.
Tom, I know Ray knows Aidan O'Brien very well and interviewed him a number of times. We look at our own Aidan O'Brien, and that's probably Chris Waller, and his organisational genius is what they say is his strongest point. What's the strongest point of Aidan O'Brien as a trainer?
You know, Aidan is... he obviously started with us when he was about 27 or 28. His attention to detail is... I've never seen anything like it. The way he can get the whole team to work together. There'd be however many horses out in the gallops in the morning. There'd be over 100 horses out in the morning. And, you know, I always say that if the horses got loose, he could pick them all individually.
Yeah.
He knows every horse. He knows every horse. He doesn't go where he stays in the yard all the time. And, you know, he lives and breathes it. The attention to detail, he's gifted, I suppose you'd say.
Yeah,
that's true. Hey, Tom, has Aidan got a sprinter he could send down for the Everest later this year?
You know, we have a slot in the Everest, so, there's a couple of horses there at home that we'll be looking at. So, you know, we'll keep looking at that, and we'll get through Ascot and we'll see how things go. But, yeah, we'll definitely be looking at bringing the horse down for that maybe, yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah, all right. Well, that would be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
yeah.
That's starting to build some momentum, isn't it, the Everest?
Massive momentum,
and
yeah.
Going to be fever pitch come
Yeah, and, you know, it's great. It's a great thing, and I think everyone's looking for that. So, you know, it's fantastic. So if we can find the horse at home, we'll be bringing him back.
Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, Tom. Congratulations on that performance overnight. Well done. And, let's see what's happening for Coolmore and Aidan O'Brien potentially on these shores very shortly. Appreciate your time this morning.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Tom.
There is Tom Magner from Coolmore, of course, a winner for them in the English Derby overnight. The Queen was there wearing yellow, for those people who were interested.
They bet on her ascot, what her colour of dress will be each particular day.
Yeah, there you go.
The market framed every day.
1353 53, the open line number. Now, our rival radio station's call team of Alan Tung and Dave Packwood and Timmy Gavel and Tim Gore are making their way down from Canberra for the ABC game today for the Raiders up against Manly, and they've asked for a shout-out. We don't do that here, okay? That's
you
one thing. Did I?
Yeah, just not.
I didn't mean to do that. Tell you what, four horsemen of the apocalypse, like those folks, fair dinkum. Jeez. Going haunt houses.
Are you heading down today?
What's that?
You heading down today? Are you covering that game?
No.
Okay.
No, I'll be...
Day off?
Yeah. Well, day off. Be playing a lot of football in the backyard,
okay.
I thought, Roman.
Fair enough, yeah.
1353-53, the open line number. Let's get to Dennis is on the line. G'day, Dennis.
G'day, Jim. G'day, Ray.
Morning, Dennis.
The 63 grand final, Proven and Summons, their exit later became the NRL trophy.
Stop the fight.
Stop the fight. Yeah. Jeez,
we have a winner.
You've got to throw in a cap as well.
Oh, Dennis.
That is a
great call.
Thank you.
Stop the fight.
Dennis.
Jimmy's already called it, Dennis.
Are you a Queensland or a New South Wales fan?
Oh, New South Wales, Jim.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Through and through.
Well, I tell you what. I don't know. We can't send him a... Well, I'll tell you what, we'll send you some CDs and a New South Wales cap.
How about that, yeah.
Beautiful.
Where are you from, Dennis?
I'm from Padstow, mate.
I think that's your first call to us. That's an outstanding first call, mate.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Dennis. Yeah, stop the fight, you're right.
Oh, Norm Proven and Arthur Summons.
63, their exit from the SCG. What a great moment in sport.
Now, you're all playing for second prize now. But don't worry.
Someone has to win that jumper,
second
though.
Prize is still that Queensland jersey. Yeah. That's right, the 1998. It's the same prize. But just don't get to tell your mates down at the bowling club this afternoon, oh, yeah, I won first prize on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. Ah, I just did it again. All right, let's see what David's got. Hello, David.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How you going, mate?
Good really
morning,
well,
David.
Mate.
That's the way you go. I'll just bring to tell you, I went to ANZ yesterday to watch the young fellow run around yesterday for the West Tigers 20s. It was not a good result. And we drove back to Gundagai last night, and I watched and listened to the call of the 20s, and just like to thank you for mentioning the Gundagai Tigers a couple of times. We need all the help we can get in the bush, so thanks very much.
Well done.
David, are you David Tout?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Your young bloke, Royce Tout, was playing for the West Tigers yesterday. I thought, in a badly beaten side, I thought he went okay too. And when I saw that he was from the Gundagai Tigers, I thought, oh, how good's that? I hope he scores a try and we can start talking a little bit about Gundagai.
Hey, Dave, you've got to be a Blues supporter, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. Great result Wednesday. Still sobering up.
Cap coming on.
Mate, I think Cliffy Lyons was a famous Gundagai Tiger.
That's right.
Yeah, we love Cliffy. Cliffy still stays in touch. He married a Gundagai girl, and you often see Cliffy come to Gundagai. He just stays there. Still got a farm in Gundagai, and they stay in touch. He's just a great man, Cliffy.
Yeah, right.
Blues cap coming David's way, Jim.
And the other one, of course, Ross Haddon.
Yeah, Haddon from Gundagai. Yeah, they had the Criterion Hotel. Can I just make a quick mention, a bit of sweet and sour? Yesterday, us Gundagai boys own 50% of Tingle Gaze. We'd like to pass our condolences on to the owners and trainers and connections of Phil on the Beach. It was terrible, but yeah, we a bit of a sweet victory, but it was sad for the owners of the other horse.
Well said, David.
Tingle Gaze half owned in Gundagai. I own a half of 25%, another mate owns 25% of it.
Well, you've had a great day, Dave, and well said, mate, because that was it's one of those things you hate seeing on a racetrack with Cylinder Beach. Mate.
Actually, now that you mention that, David, Andrew Willis did tell me that Royce Tout's old man owned part of Single Gaze.
There you go.
Now you've made the call. So, mate, stay on the line. We're sending you out a Blues cap, courtesy of Classic Sportswear, Dave.
Thanks for your time, Matt.
Good no problem. There he is, David Tout, our lead correspondent from Gundagai.
How about that, eh?
At League and Racing correspondent.
And young kid went okay, did he?
Yeah, he went all right, back rower. So, played all right. They played him off the bench. He was in number 11, but they played him off the bench. So, it was a bit of a change there from Coach Chris Hutchison. 1353-53, the open line number. Peter's on the line. G'day, Pete.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Very well, thanks.
Mate, I got a couple of very famous exits. No. The first one I can't believe no one's got is Zorba Peters from Parramatta to Manly. I'm absolutely amazed.
That's true.
And, that was, but they nearly burnt the grandstand down when he left, mate. And then Sonny Bill Williams from the Dogs to French Rugby. I thought that was a pretty fair one, too. I don't know if you've had that one or not.
We had it a little bit earlier. But
did you?
Yeah.
I thought the Zorba Peters one, mate, was a no-brainer.
You know what, Peter?
It's very good.
Zorba held the goal-kicking record at most goals in a match until Michael Cronin turned up.
100% correct. I know. The man's a freak.
Yeah.
Absolute freak.
Hey, Peter.
But, yes, mate.
You're a Blues man, aren't you?
Yes, mate.
We've only got one Queensland cap left. You okay with that?
No, thanks, mate.
No, thanks.
Ray.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, well said, Peter. Ray, we've got an hour and 15 minutes left of this program. Surely we can find some poor down-in-the-mouth Queensland supporter that can ring up and tell us something.
We're going to give Peter. It's a good call.
We'll send you a CD, Pete.
A CD. Oh, all right, mate. Thanks.
Good on you, Pete.
Thanks very much.
Did you sound overwhelmed with that, Peter?
I'm overwhelmed, mate.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Pete. I'll tell you what. We'll send you nothing, mate.
All right, then. Might be even better.
Oh, thanks.
Sweet.
Good on you, mate.
Ring up next week. People have new prizes next week.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ray.
See you, mate.
Good on you, Pete. Thank you.
Poor guy. It was a good call.
Seriously, ring up here. Give us a really good call. We'll give you nothing. Except the phone number, 135353.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out, but the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. On Deck partners with MYOB.
Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance with 50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until August 2021. Huge reductions. Technology, entertainment and home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. 50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until August 2021. Minimum finance amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in store and online. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance.
Run into Penrith Mazda for an amazing end of financial year deal on a new Mazda. Penrith Mazda has over 300 new cars in stock and over 50 utes on display in our Mazda Youth Centre, which means at Penrith Mazda, you get the best selection and the best prices on a new Mazda. So come in and see the Mazda specialist. But hurry in before our amazing run-out deals run out. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. Family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. The phone number is 135353. We've just had Simon ring in to say he also doesn't want a Queensland cap.
I thought we
put out a press release after this program and say radio station can't give away Queensland cap and jersey.
Can do with the jersey. That's our major prize today.
I need an oil rag for the car, so maybe I could use that.
We haven't won the series yet, Jim.
I know.
Go off to no early
people,
prize.
You know, you can't convince. Oh well, I'm only a Blues supporter because they won the first game. You're either Blues or Queenslander, and we've got mostly. We're in New South Wales mostly. Poor old Brett from Broadbeach is flying the flag for us up north. But
did we send him a cap?
Yeah, well, I think we sent him a cap.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Right. Yeah, we did. No, he's fine.
Okay, he's
Brett
fine.
From Broadbeach,
okay.
So we're okay. What we need though is participants for the quiz. Just a score update.
12-9,
the ZNZ quiz.
Fight back's on.
12-9, fight back. 12-9. ZNZ quiz. So you're, remember, Ray and producer Jeremy try to rig this so that Ray just finishes past the winning post. There we go. Yeah, even Hamish is in on it too. So call. call now, 1353 53. Before we get to that, though, I'll tell you what, they all played well for New South Wales on Wednesday night. Let's see how our man Dean Walter Ritchie made a contribution. Hello, Dino.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
How did you feel you were in that first Origin game, Dean?
You knew this was coming, Dino, didn't you?
Jimmy?
Early touch?
Yeah, a few try assists. Got through about 40 odd tackles. Strong.
Pretty strong. Did you get a sense before the game? Because that was the most dominant performance that I think I've ever seen physically by any side at that level. Did you get a sense of that before the game?
I did, Jimmy. And look, I know I'm going to sound like a know-all, which is normal, but I came on this very show, this very day last week, and said that they would just batter the Blues through the middle, the Maroons through the middle.
Yes, you did.
And that's exactly what happened. They were just too strong. They overpowered Queensland. Look, you know, the performances just kept coming. Fafita in the first half, Tedesco in the second, Maloney, Josh Jackson was probably our best for the first 20 minutes.
Cordner.
It just went on and on, Ray, didn't it? And it was, I thought at full time, guys, I thought in 14 we won the series. But with all due respect, you just got the feeling that we just snuck that one in under their guard. But game one a few days ago was the first time I'd actually thought in a long time that, yes, we are now starting to become the dominant state once again.
Okay. Dino, just quickly on Queensland then, before we get to Tyson Frizzell, what are you hearing about their likely changes come game two?
It's strange. I heard Jimmy talk about Val Holmes. It's a real juggling act for Kev Walters here. Now, if he makes wholesale changes, he'll be declared a panic merchant.
Mm. Yep.
He can't send the same team back out there. They've always carried on with this rubbish Queensland that they're more loyal than the Blues. Anyone can be loyal when you're winning.
Yes, correct.
So, look, we'll see how loyal they are this time. Look, I can't believe that they would once again overlook Billy Slater. Mm. So if he does come back in, I guess that pushes Darius Boyd to the wing. That may in turn shift Dane Gagai into the centres.
Yep.
And that would make way for Justin O'Neill. But I hear what Jimmy's saying. Leaving out Val Holmes would be very difficult, but I couldn't get rid of Corey Oates either.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was talking to Paul Gallen on Friday night, and he said, well, Valentine Holmes carries the ball as strongly as any winger.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he'd be perfect for that Origin arena. So it's really hard.
We're talking about outside backs here. They've just got no muscle in the forwards. Mm. And through the middle, that's where they need players, and they're a bit light on in depth in that area.
Oh, by the way, Thurston might be back too.
Yeah. Hess and Wallace comes in for Origin too, do you think, Dean?
Yeah, it was a bit strange last night. I watched the Cowboys game, Ray, and Cohen Hess actually said on radio last night that he just wasn't ready for Origin. So
I heard that. Yeah.
Not sure whether he's talked himself out of a spot there, Cohen Hess, but he personally said, I'm just not ready for it as yet. So, look, I mean, Thurston, there is a bit of mail floating around that his injury is worse than what it is, and he may not be ready for Origin 2. There's even a little bit of scuttle that it may not be ready for Origin 3, which would be a sad way if it is the case that JT leaves the Origin arena. But look, you know, if there's any person that can get there, it will be Thurston. But at this point in time, I'm hearing it's a real race to see whether he can get there in time. And if he does re-injure it, it could be career defining.
Well, I tell you what, they'll have to find a new marketing ploy, because that's what they're using as their marketing for what's going to be a dead rubber. Of course, New South Wales will win the next game at ANZ Stadium, so we've got that locked in. There might be some changes, though. Tyson Frizzell, any update on that injury from yesterday, Dean?
Yeah, I checked in late last night, the Dragons. He was taken to hospital. It was scans on sort of two areas. It was sort of connected with a pec and a rib. So, look, you know, if the injury is bad, you'd think that Tyson Frizzell will miss that game. Just going through my little pea brain as to who maybe a replacement, Jack DiBella and Jordan McLean. They're in camp with the Blues, part of that 20-man squad right through. So I know Laurie Daly has a big rap on Jack DiBella. Trent Merrin would be someone else that may come into the equation, but you'd think it would come from either DiBella or McLean. So it might be one dragon out, one drag in. But look, let's hope Tyson Frizzell is okay. He's an absolute machine, Tyson Frizzell. And, you know, if anyone can get back, I'm sure it will be him.
Yeah, hopefully. Hey, Dino, any team news for the two big games today?
Yeah, the big game down there at Brookvale, Ray, that's Manly and the Raiders. That's at 2 o'clock. Nate Miles goes out with an injury. Manly not confirming the replacement just yet. I'm hearing it may be Lloyd Perrott, the old bulldog, but they'll confirm that a little bit later on this morning. The Raiders, a mate of mine actually caught them having dinner down in Manly on Friday, so they came here early, the Raiders, to prepare for this game, so that shows how serious they're taking it. And then there's the Bulldogs, Panthers, ANZ, Brett Morris out injured, Marcelo Montoya in. on the wing. I was told James Graham wouldn't play, but he's still on the team on the NRL website, so I think James Graham may now be playing, even though I was told he wasn't. And, of course, for Penrith, good news for them, Josh Mansell, of course, he did himself that knee injury back in the Kangaroo Tour. This is his first game back to for the Panthers.
And significant, Moreland to 5'8", Dylan Edwards at fullback as well, Dino.
Yeah, yeah, Matty Moreland's up in camp most of the week. I think 5'8 suits him. I like that Moreland as a 5'8". It gives him time with the ball. Of course, he was 5'8 in Origin 3 last year when we won. So, you know, the Panthers really struggling there. I think Anthony Griffin's had to try something different, and he's done that.
Dino, we've got a fly. We've got the quiz contestants standing by. We will speak again next week. Well played Wednesday night.
Jimmy, just for a go, very quickly, Aiden Guerra, watch for the Knights to have a dabble at him from the Roosters, and the rumours continue about James Maloney possibly leaving the Sharks. Maybe he might end up at Redfern. Have a good week, boys.
Good on you, Dino.
Dean Ritchie with all the latest from the world of rugby league. Let's get to our quiz now. We haven't really decided. Do you want to go one or two, the ZNZ quiz?
You can have
you go.
Meeting.
You go.
Oh,
one.
Okay.
You go one.
All right, well, the first player on the line is Bradley. Bradley, good morning.
Hey, Ryan, how you going, mate?
Terrific, mate. You know the drill, mate. Very best of luck. Here's question number one. Who led the NRL in points scored after round 12? Was it Michael Gordon, James Maloney, or Clint Gutherson?
Good question. Very good question. I'm going to go James Maloney.
Michael Gordon, who had another great game. Where does he go next year, Jim? One-year contract. Tedesco goes to the Roosters.
Yeah.
He's a good player, Michael Gordon. Hey, Brad. All right, here we go. Question number two. Which team was ranked higher on the NRL ladder after round 12? Was it the Broncos, the Dragons, or the Roosters?
The Roosters.
Dragons. That's okay, Brad. We'll get this one, mate. Question number three. These are one of Jeremy's beauties. How many medal events will be contested in lawn bowls at the 2018 Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast? Is it 8, 10 or 12?
Give me 12.
It was 10. Hang on, Brad. We're not gone yet. Hang on the line there, mate. You never know.
Do you watch any sport, Bradley, or do you... None from
give it the poor guy.
You're the schmuck. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right, Bradley. You're the schmuck at the moment.
You are,
until Paul gets all three wrong. Nah, that won't happen. G'day, Paul.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very well, mate. All we need is one from you. We've got to get this train back on track.
Hopefully.
Who led the NRL in tackles after round 12? Was it Jake Friend, Kayser Pritchard, or Andrew McCulloch?
I'll say Jake Friend.
Jake Friend.
Yeah, well, it's Andrew McCulloch, and he missed a game too.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Question two. Which team was ranked higher on the NRL ladder after round 12? Was it the Titans, the Warriors, or the Bulldogs?
I'll say Titans.
There we go. Pressure's building. Pressure's building.
Why does producer Jeremy start standing up now that he's a chance to win? He being you and he.
His questions are very testing.
How many medal events, Paul, will be contested in squash at the 2018 Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast? 5, 6, or 7?
We'll go 6.
Oh, no. Hang in there, Paul. Hang
it's
in there, Bradley.
5.
Tiebreaker.
Here we go. Tiebreaker for you, Paul.
Yeah, mate.
What was the one-day international batting average of Michael Bevan?
Got to give him a bit of a chance, Jim.
He was pretty good.
You want to go the...
Yeah, we'll give him something to...
All right. 50. Between 53 and 54.
That's it.
53.21.
Okay. All right. You stay on the line there. Back to Bradley. Who'd have thought we'd be coming back to you, Bradley, after getting none right?
I said hang in there, Brad. Here we go, mate. This is a tiebreaker question. What was the ODI, or one-day batting average, of Michael Bevan? Between 53 and 54 runs per innings.
53.65.
That'll do. That'll do, Bradley. Absolutely outstanding. We call him a stayer.
Done. Well done, Bradley.
He hung in there to the end. Good on you,
53.58. Who's your team, Bradley?
West Tigers, mate.
Tigers.
Tigers, all right. You stay on the line. I think they're still those watches.
See, Jimmy's upset now, Brad, so he's going to start blowing.
What about
up.
How sneaky competitive you are, too?
I don't give up, that's it.
Yeah, fair enough.
My dad told me never.
Royal Tudor. You're Royal Tudor. good tough win.
Battler.
All right, now let's just update that scoreline in the ZNZ quiz. 12-10.
How's that? This is like Wings of Eagles and Epsom Downs.
Are you going to swoop?
Swoop like.
Yeah, fair enough. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take your calls after the news break. But coming up, our legend of the game this morning is Ronnie Palmer, the Balmain Charmer.
I want to know what that means.
I don't know either. Anyway, that's what he's... Seriously, he's got more nicknames than just poker stick at.
Just back on that, with Tedesco going to the Roosters.
Yes.
Maybe St George could swoop on Michael Gordon because they're losing Dugan.
Yeah. Mickey Gordon at the Dragons is not a bad...
Jeez, good.
And, you know, he's only, when I say only, it's a lot of money, but he's a $400,000 a year
player.
He
only signed for 1 year too at the Roosters.
Yes, he has.
Jeez, a good player. So again, last night, terrific.
There you go.
Just on Matty Morn at Penrith at 5'8".
Yeah.
As I've said to you many times, Matty Morn, ball in hand, is a very, very dangerous player. Makes Penrith look a better team.
Oh, I agree. I'm a big fan of Matty Moreland. Mark Wall coming up as well. Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. And as we said, our legend of the game today.